Welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am currently in a minibus on our way to church on a Sunday morning in Sri Lanka. I woke up in Negombo, where Stephen and Peggy Beverly live, and we are now on a two-hour journey to church this morning. So grateful to get to worship with the Church of God here in Sri Lanka. And on this bus ride, as our listeners know, we tend to record wherever we are, whatever we're doing, in all kinds of different places. And so on this bus ride, I thought, I want to have a conversation with the National Director for the Church of God, who is with us, and just hear a little bit more about the Church of God in Sri Lanka. So I'm sitting towards the back of the bus. You'll certainly hear some road noise, I am confident, as we drive. But hopefully you can also hear about the cool things that are happening here in the Church of God in Sri Lanka. So I'm so grateful to be joined with the National Coordinator for the Church of God in Sri Lanka, yeah, Krisantha Da Silva. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Me too. I'm humbled to be, talking with you.
And thanks for taking us around. Yesterday was a beautiful day. We celebrated an ordination for 10 yes. pastors in the Church of God. It was a really, really wonderful experience.
Yeah, truly, because actually it was one of my dreams for a long time, because I was also not ordained, I was ordained.
Yeah.
And it was, sort of unforgettable, event that, yeah. that will encourage. And, I felt that, it's some more of wisdom of God, that, it was anointed in me. So yeah. I thank all the visitors who came here, even Reverend Andrew Gale yeah. who came with us. Really, really, really happy about it.
It was a really beautiful, beautiful yes. day. 10 pastors, many of which have been in ministry for a long time. So they're,
yes.
They're not new pastors, yes. but they're people that had not been ordained. And so yes. this was an opportunity for the church to kind of officially recognize them, pray
yes.
over them, have a meal together.
Yes.
And it was a really moving experience.
Yes.
At the very end, families came and laid hands on the pastors and prayed for them. And
yes.
it was a powerful experience. And yes. I was really grateful. My plane landed at like 4 a.m. and this yes. started at 11. We had breakfast. And so there wasn't a whole lot that was going to keep me from being there. Because yes. I was excited to get to be a part of that. And even in exhaustion, it was still an incredible yes. experience. So for a lot of people, they may not know where Sri Lanka is or may not know much about Sri Lanka. As Americans, we tend to be pretty terrible with geography. I apologize yes. to the rest of the world for our inability to know about yes. where places are. But
yes.
tell us for someone who doesn't know where Sri Lanka is, if they're looking on a map, where is the quickest right. place for them to yeah. know,
yes.
to learn about Sri Lanka, where it is?
Yeah, it's very easy, Reverend Andrew. Only thing is, if you raise your left hand,
okay,
and then you get the map of Sri Lanka.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah,
right.
Left hand. In the United States, people in Michigan do this. They raise their hand and use it. But I like this. So
really?
This is the map of Sri Lanka. I see.
Yeah, it's very much similar. And then this is actually it's down the line of the India.
Yes.
It's like a teardrop.
It is like a teardrop. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a teardrop
yes,
shape.
The teardrop shape. Actually, it was called earlier sages. It was called Ceylon.
Yes.
By the British. And then we were under Portuguese, Dutch, and British
oh,
for
wow.
so many years, yes. Until 1948, we were under British.
Wow.
So then only we received the independence. Now about 70-odd years, we have been, enjoying this freedom.
Wow.
And independence. That is how about Sri Lanka's, in the background, about 3,000 years heritage, the
wow.
Sri Lanka was found. And we have about 22... million people in Sri Lanka.
Wow.
And then we have got actually Sinhala speaking, Tamil
okay.
speaking. Then the races that we have is Sinhala, Tamil, Muslims, Hindu, Berger, Vedas. There's a tribal, small tribal
okay,
is
yeah.
there. And then we have these Malays. It's a combined of all these three sectors. And about 80% is actually they are Buddhist.
Okay.
It's actually a Buddhist country. The official language is Sinhala, and still thank God, but the Buddhism is not the official language in the government.
Okay.
But all the other sectors Muslims, we have about 8%, 9% like that. Hindu also very much about 7%, 8%. So only about 2% is the Christians.
Wow, so 2% of the population in, of 20 million is Christian.
Yeah,
wow.
Actually, inside me, actually, it's a sad story to say. And so the churches, the especially the Christian, not the Roman Catholic, and the other churches actually spreaded out of Colombo. The west line is almost there with the Roman Catholics.
Okay.
And then the other part of the island is spreaded with the evangelical churches, and Church of God also spreaded, like in the, not in the north still, but in the central part and the east and the western and Colombo. So we have about 17 churches in Sri Lanka,
churches.
Church
okay.
of God,
wow.
and 25 pastors and evangelical leaders like thing. We have about, about 25 to 30 prayer cells like that, how it, the Church of God has been spreaded in Sri Lanka.
So tell me about a prayer cell. You say about 25 prayer cells.
Yes.
Is that a like a start of a church, or is it a group that just meets to pray? Like, what do you mean when you say a prayer cell?
Yeah, because, you know, now we have about five built churches, like with buildings and all.
Yeah.
That is mostly in the city.
Okay,
but others all are in the outreach. You know, I mean, in the villages.
Yeah.
Because the reason is there is a jungle law going on in Sri Lanka for a long time. Mm. The persecution is still there.
Yeah.
Especially the Buddhist monks. I don't want to accuse anybody.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, I have got a lot of Buddhist monks also friends.
Yeah.
I got one Buddhist monk who is converted also, still in the Buddhist temple.
Wow.
And you know, it's like that. It's glory to God. But only thing is. When I say jungle law with the persecution, they don't want us to evangelize.
Yeah.
So, but Lord has been doing a lot of miracles and signs and wonders for each and individual people. Even in Muslims also, we have some converts.
Wow.
Even Hindu, especially in the upcountry area, there are a lot of Tamil speaking and the north and northeast in the countries of the island, and they have been converted. So they have the fear that, you know, they will lose their devotees and their income will be low. I mean, that's the main point.
Yeah.
And that is how the evangelism goes. Because personally, I thank God that I was faced three times the death, death threats when I was evangelizing.
You faced threats three times?
Yes, because one time in a jungle area, that is in the northwestern province, and you know, we were praying it was in a jungle like thing, a house prayer cell, and the villagers came through big stones to the roof.
Wow.
And they just wanted to stab us into death. And but only thing is, it was, you know, our prayer, because one brother started praying for them, saying they don't know what they are doing, please forgive them, and so forth. So actually, within a second it was silent. Then so we just, you know, we slept in the same, you know, house, one by one.
Wow.
And then in the morning we saw big stones, but nothing had happened to the roof. It was a tile roof. Nothing has happened. You know, it was, you know, down the line. And then now there's a church there.
Wow.
After some time.
So even in the midst of persecution, the church is raising
coming
up.
Yes.
Wow.
And the second, you know, when showing the Jesus film.
Yeah.
And it happened. And the other one, it happened, you know, they came to stab us. It was distributing Bible tracts in another remote area. So all the other pastors who are with us in Church of God, almost all have faced persecution.
Yeah.
But nowadays the persecution, you know, underground, it is jungle law, you know, have been, you know, submissive to the government, because there's a new government has come and the new president. So so we are really thankful to the Lord that, you know, that there's a release there.
There's some more protection.
Yeah, more protection. Yeah, because he's telling all the religions should be given freedom.
Wow.
So that is another part. And I think we are not happy whether, you know, it is released or whether there is no persecution or have persecution, but we are in the Lord.
Yeah.
And that is the power of the Holy Spirit that goes forward.
So your churches, the Church of God churches here in Sri Lanka, there's you mentioned that there's two primary languages in Sri Lanka, Sinhala and Tamil.
Tamil. Yes.
And your churches have both languages
spoken.
Yeah,
both, yes, yes.
Because at the ordination service, someone was speaking in English, and then there was a translation into Sinhala and a translation to Tamil, or someone would speak in Tamil, and there would be three languages at all times. So the Church of God here kind of spans across
yes.
the different language groups. Is that true?
Yes, because actually now during the wartime, the people couldn't come down to Colombo, and they were given the education only in Tamil.
Yeah.
And then most of the people, even still in the north and northeast, most of the people, they know only Tamil.
Wow.
They don't know Sinhala.
Wow.
And they don't know English also, most of them. But in Colombo and other down area, I mean south area, they almost know Sinhala and English. And most of the Tamil-speaking people who have come down to Colombo and southern areas, they have already learned Sinhala more than us. I'm a Sinhala-speaking guy.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know Tamil. But, most of them, they had to learn Sinhala, otherwise they couldn't survive.
Gotcha.
So in the churches, most of the churches, they conducted in Tamil only. But most of the churches, we have Sinhala and Tamil mostly translated when a preacher preaches in English. But when a preacher preaches in Sinhala, there's a Tamil translation.
Wow.
So all mixed congregations are there in the most of the Church of God churches.
It makes it a really unique church experience, I would guess, that you're having multiple languages spoken.
Yes.
But it also makes it accessible. It makes it so that your church people can all understand what's happening, I think is incredibly important.
Yes. Because among actually Christian community, especially in the Church of God, we don't have any discrimination that you are a Sinhala, I'm a Tamil. But during the war time, the government actually tried to make a rift between the two sector, but we didn't get caught to that.
Wow.
Thank God about
it. Thank God. That's so when you talk about that wartime, for those that don't know, what years was this? How long ago was this?
Yeah, actually this is about for 30 years, It started somewhere in 1980s. It goes back to 1956. The major problem started in Sri Lanka about this Tamil and Sinhala ethnic problem was the government made the Sinhala language is the official language. And it was earlier, the English was the official language.
Gotcha.
So the Tamil-speaking sector people, they got stranded.
Yeah.
So that was a start. But only thing, the war started somewhere in 83, actually.
Okay.
And there was a big riot. All the houses of the Tamil-speaking people, most of about 80% were burned.
Wow.
Because in myself, personally, I saw in Colombo, one person being, Tamil person being burned.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
I
asked that question mostly because in the United States, we haven't dealt with a war on our country since 1800s. 1861 was the Civil War, and so to think about living through that just 30 years ago, and that your churches are still, connected and support. That's a really powerful testimony to the power of unity in Christ.
Yeah.
That even amidst a division that's very recent, you still find a way to work and live and worship with one another.
Yeah, thank God for that, because he had been so faithful to us.
Mm-hmm.
But only thing is, comparing to the facilities or whatever that we have in Sri Lanka, especially the outreach pastors, remote areas, but they're still faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
And people are getting attracted to Jesus our Lord. That is the wonder,
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So we're going to a church that's about 2 hours away. Colombo, for those who don't know, we've been in Colombo, which is the capital, on kind of the southwest side of the country. And we're driving which way? Are we going?
Yeah. So Colombo is actually in the west.
Yes, the west.
It's called the Western Province.
Wonderful.
Even Nigambo is coming under Western Province.
Okay.
So we are now heading right through to the Northwestern Province.
Northwest, okay.
Northwest. And then this particular church is in between the Uwa province and the Northwestern Province, in the border.
Okay.
And it's not in the city. It's away from the city.
Okay.
And then we are from a little while we'll be getting to the highway, and then again we cut across the village roads.
So, for someone who goes to church in the United States that maybe hasn't experienced church in Sri Lanka, can you tell us what, I'm going to experience it because I'm going to be sitting here, but for those that aren't going to get to experience it, what does a normal church service look like?
It depends on, we have given the freedom to the churches.
So every church is a little different?
Different.
Okay.
Correct. Because, we have in Sri Lanka, because we have to go, we are going with the Lord as per His guidance, and we are not restricted like thing. because some, you know, I mean, they go semi-Pentecostal also, but we actually it is restricted that, you know, we are in the biblical, you know, teaching is there. So that part, but only thing now you will see when we go there, the churches have been almost the same that I have visited to. I've been invited to states also, but in some churches there were, you know, short, you know, I mean time of, you know, worship, and in some churches, you know, it goes, you know, praising and, you know, sort of a thing. So it is also almost here, it's almost the same, like.
There's just differences. Every church is a little different.
Yeah, every church is a little different.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. Yes. So one of the questions I love to end with, I love to hear a story of the good that God is doing here in Sri Lanka.
You mean the right now?
Yeah. Like, what, is there anything you can share that's happening that, that where you just see God's hand at work?
Correct. Actually, comparing to as the national coordinator, you know, from the very first day that I was invited to be the national coordinator by the earlier chairman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I prayed about 1 month with my wife, because I was in another ministry called CEF, you know, Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, coordinating that. And then after 1 month, you know, I don't want to go into details, but the Lord did a miracle and showed both of us, my wife and myself, that you should go and meet the earlier chairman and say, okay, I'm ready. And then from that day, you know, I started praying, what is the vision that you have for Sri Lanka, Lord? Because it's your church.
Yeah.
This is not our church. The Church of God, you know, in the name itself, it says. So from that time, Reverend Stephen and Reverend Peggy, you know, they came to us in 2015. I was joined in 2014, October.
Okay.
And then from that day, all the prayers that I had been praying, release, you know, whatever that you wanted us to do. It took a long time, about 10 years. Now it has started. That's the good thing that we experienced. A while ago, I was telling Reverend Stephen also that God has been releasing those prayers into practice, into practical, you know, operation. And that is the joy that we are actually personally, I am experiencing. I hope all my leadership team also experiencing, and even the pastors who have been, you know, some were murmuring, you know, what's something happening, and some, you know, expecting more from the leadership team and the, you know, global strategy. But now things are happening.
Wow.
Lord is doing at his own, he has his own timeline.
Yes, that's right.
So it's happening, but whether it's not happening also, we believe that it's happening.
Yeah, I love that. So even 10 years ago, you were praying for things that you're seeing happen now today.
And
that's a great testimony and a reminder that sometimes we expect things to happen quickly, but God's timeline is often not the same as ours.
Correct.
And if we're persistent, if we're consistent in our prayer and in our belief that God will show up and be there, that we may 10 years down the road get to see the fruit of those prayers.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that you're in a place today where you get to see the fruit of the prayers that you prayed a decade ago.
Yes. Because now three churches are coming, because there's a program called Three Decades, Three Churches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are in the process of getting the government approval and all.
So that's, for those that don't know, that's building church buildings for churches. So you talked about how you have all these pastors and you have churches, but only five of them have buildings. So that's three new churches that will be receiving like land and buildings for them to meet. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Wow, that's incredible.
Actually, already we have purchased, you know, I mean, two lands. That's one of the lands that we are going.
Yeah, we're going to go visit. Visit
there.
One of the lands.
And there's another one, actually, one pastor is actually surveying about the land and all. And it is so wonderful because the prayers that, you know, we prayed, not only me, I also was having that vision, but we as a team, you know, leadership team, we've been praying. But now Lord is, God is, our Father is faithful. He's releasing one by one.
I love that.
That is very, 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 very practical now. We've seen even the ordination.
Yeah.
You won't believe. Because it's a long story to make it short. I've been praying for my ordination for a long time. And, you know, it was so colorful and, you know, So I asked, you know, when I went home, I asked, Lord, you anoint me with the wisdom of God, nothing else. Because through the wisdom of God, God provides everything. Even, you know, even material things and spiritual, everything is being, you know, then we will just transfer to the other members of the church, the pastors.
Yeah. Well, Reverend Kasantha, I really appreciate you taking some time to share about the Church of God here in Sri Lanka. Thanks for taking us around, being such a wonderful host. I love that I've spent time with you also in the U.S. when you were in Tampa. So
yeah, correct,
I feel
yes.
like we've spent time on that side of the ocean, and now yes. we get to spend time on this side
yeah,
of the ocean.
Yeah, actually,
and so
yeah, yeah.
thanks for welcoming us and allowing us to be a part of the good stuff that God's doing here in
yeah,
Sri
Lanka. Thank you very much. And I'm also so humbled with my team. Please continue to pray for us.
Yeah.
And that's my humble request. And then once again, I really thank you and God bless you too.
Thank you, Reverend Prasad. Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chagglobal.org/aworldofgood. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.